I remember being in the nation of Singapore several years ago and going to a store. After I'd gone through the store and looked at some items, I came to the checkout counter. And I noticed behind the counter that there were shelves that had certain items, some of which were for sale, but one of which I knew was not for sale because it was obvious that it had been used. It was an idol. Now, you have to realize that in Indian culture and in Chinese culture, idols are very, very common. Those idols can be very big. They can stand 20 or 30 feet tall out in public or in an idol temple. But idol temples and idols are everywhere. And sometimes those idols are small. They're small enough to place on a table at home, on a shelf, on the wall. Some of them are even small enough to put in your pocket. But these people pray to these idols. They burn incense to them quite often. So it was obvious that this idol was an idol that belonged to the man who was managing this store. So I asked him, "Is that your idol?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "So you pray to this idol?" He said, "I sure do. I pray and I burn incense to my God." I said, "Can I ask you a question?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Do you believe that that God, that that idol made you, that it made this universe, that it made the world?" And he said, "No, I don't." I said, "The true God made all of us." I said, "Somebody made that idol, so that idol can't be God. But the true God made everything, and that's the God of the Bible." He looked at me, and the conversation was over at that point because he said, "Sir, you have your God that you believe in, and I have my God that I believe in." And that ended the conversation. Well, there are people in this country that don't have idols like that man did. They don't have a piece of wood or stone or clay that they've carved into some kind of image. But at the same time, they do have the same kind of view or the same kind of attitude. Because their view is, "I have my God, I have the kind of God that I want to believe in, and I do believe in, and you have your own concept or version of God." There have been many surveys that have been taken over the years in this country. And in those surveys, the majority of people have consistently said that they believe in God. And that remains so to this day, although the number of people who are saying now that they don't believe in God or that they're not sure whether there is a God has increased. Still, at the same time, the majority of people say, "Yes, I believe in a higher power. I believe in God." But the question that we have to ask is, what kind of God do you believe in? And in the surveys where people are asked that question, the results are sometimes surprising and sometimes shocking. Because when people today say, "Yes, I believe in God," and then you ask them the question, "Well, what is your understanding of God? What kind of God do you believe in? What kind of God is He?" Then you begin to realize that those people really don't believe in the Bible concept of God. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. There are people today that talk about intelligent design. They talk about how that the world must be here by a designer, and that is true. An intelligent designer, and that is absolutely true. But folks, God is not merely some powerful, intelligent designer. You see, what oftentimes people want to do is to define God in such a way that they're not responsible to Him. In other words, they want God to be the kind of God that they want Him to be. And so, in their minds, if they want God to be the kind of being who designed the world, because they don't believe in evolution, which in that respect is good, but if they just want to look at God as simply being an intelligent designer and not the moral being that the Bible says that He is, then they're allowed in their minds to pursue any kind of lifestyle that they want. And yet the Bible shows us that God is not merely the designer and the creator. He is the God that we must answer to someday. So there are different concepts that people have about God. And in these four lessons, what we're going to do, very briefly, is to talk about some of the attributes of God. We're going to talk about some of the characteristics of God. And I'm going to begin today in Acts chapter 17, because it's very interesting here that as Paul talked to these Athenians about God, he pointed out several of the characteristics about God that we need to know and understand. In Acts chapter 17, Paul went to Athens, which was full of idols. There were idols everywhere. Then Paul began to preach to them the true God. Acts 17, verse 24. I want you to notice now some of the characteristics of God here that Paul points out very briefly in Acts 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein. First of all, he points out that God is the creator. So that means that God is all-powerful. God is the omnipotent God. Now that word is used in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible says that the Lord God omnipotent reigns. The word omnipotent in your Bible simply means that God is all-powerful. So when we think of God today, we don't ever need to think that God is in any sense less than all-powerful. God that had the power to make all of this, folks, and has the power to sustain it, and has the power, the Bible says, to someday destroy it and will someday destroy it, is a God of infinite power. That ought to humble us. That ought to cause us every day to be much more humble in our lives, to realize that we wouldn't have anything were it not for the power of God. That's the concept of God that we need to have. Not a concept of God where he's limited in power. Not the idea that God is weak in any way. Not the idea that God is unable to do what the Bible says that he will do. God is all-powerful. He is the creator. Paul goes on to say, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. God is Lord. He is the master. He is the one that reigns. And the Bible says he dwells not in temples made with hands. You can't contain God. You cannot limit God. You see, we're limited as far as our being is concerned. But God is not limited in any way by time and space. And so you can't put God in a box. You can't put God in a temple. People build temples and they put idols in them. People have their own idea that God is somehow going to be limited to what they want him to be limited to. And yet the Bible tells us here in Acts 17, verse 24, that God does not dwell in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Now this again shows us that God is not dependent upon man in any way whatsoever. God does not need anything from us in order for him to be God. We don't give him anything that makes him any more or any less God. Now, in reverse, the Bible says that God gives to all life and breath and all things. God is the giver. God is the provider of everything that we have. He gives us life, breath, and everything. Now, this shows that God is a good God. Just like Acts 14, verses 15 through 17 says that we see the goodness of God because he gives us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. Here, Paul is talking to these idolatrous Athenians, and he says that God gives us life, breath, and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, verse 26. And then in verse 28, he says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Is that the concept of God that people have today? Or do they think that they're so independent from God that they make their own way, that they provide for themselves without any help from God? I'm afraid that there are too many people who have become too independent in their minds, in their attitude toward God. The Bible says we couldn't even breathe were it not for God. We wouldn't even have a life were it not for God. And we certainly would not have the power, the ability to get the things that we enjoy in life if it were not for the bountiful hand of God. The Bible says in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Your own writers, your own poets have admitted this. Now watch verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, And the word Godhead there does not refer to the Trinity because those people didn't know anything about the Trinity. The word Godhead there means the divine nature, the divine essence, divinity, or deity. He says we shouldn't think that deity or the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Now what he's saying here is that God is not a material being. God is not a physical being at all. The Bible says in John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. So God is not a God of flesh and bones. God is not a God that is made of the material elements like we are. Your body is made of the dust of the ground. God doesn't have a body like that. And when the Bible talks about the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, those are accommodative expressions. Those are figurative ways of telling us that God looks out after our own welfare. So the Bible tells us here that God is not a physical being. God is totally spiritual. Then the Bible tells us in verse 30 and 31, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. Now what we find here is that God is not only a God of goodness, but he is a God of justice. Paul says there's coming a day in which everybody is going to answer to God. Everybody is going to give an account for the way that they have lived to God Almighty. Acts 17, 30 and 31. So what I wanted to do today was to use this passage in Acts 17 to show that Paul points out to some ignorant people, some idolatrous people, the nature of the true and the living God. He is all-powerful. He is infinite. He's not limited. He is the good God. He is a spirit being. He is certainly not material. He is the just God that we will answer to someday. And what we want to do in the next three lessons is to go into a little more detail about some of the characteristics of God that people really need to understand today, that people oftentimes have a false impression of. And our whole purpose in doing this is to answer the question, what is God like? We looked at the question, is there a God? Now we're looking at the question, what is God like? And we want to make sure that we understand who God is according to what God says about himself and shows about himself, instead of us trying to create in our minds our own version of God that we want to believe in. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to have you listening, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.